This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي
الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كتابه العزيز وأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم وقضى ربك ألا تعبدوا إلا إياه وبالوالدين إحسانا إما يبلغن عندك الكبر أحدهما أو كلاهما فلا تقل لهما أف ولا تنهرهما وقل لهما قولا كريما واخفض لهما جناح الذل من الرحمة وقل رب ارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ألا أنبئكم بأكبر الكبائر الإشراك بالله وعقوق الوالدين وشهادة الزور أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. My dear respected elders, brothers and sisters, one of the most frequently requested topics for khutbas is the issue of the respect for the parents. Frustrated parents come to me at all times and say that my children do not listen to me, they don't pay attention to me, they are rude to me, and they disrespect me, so I'd like you to give a lecture or a khutbah about this issue. And I thought that it would be an appropriate time, being the summer break and having the majority of the children here, to refresh the minds of especially the youth, the young, who tend to be hot-headed and tend to be the most disrespectful when it comes to the parents, that they should get an opportunity to listen to the khutbah and be reminded about this very important topic. But prior to me going into that, we have to understand that relationships, all relationships, are bilateral. They are not unilateral. They are not one-way traffic. Relationships, they work two ways. So when parents, they want to be respected and they want their rights to be fulfilled, it is very important that they also make sure that they are fulfilling the rights of their children. And from the youngest of ages, give them such a tarbiyah and such an education and such a teaching that they understand and respect the position of the parents. If we expect that for 15 years or 12 years we just leave them to do what they want, with the understanding that they are just kids, they'll grow into and they'll understand as they grow up, and then we expect at the flick of a switch that they should start respecting us, that is very unlikely to happen. We find in the seerah of the Prophet ﷺ and his teaching that he used to teach the youngest of the children who are sitting in his lap, the etiquettes of life. A child who is sitting in the lap of the Prophet ﷺ and eating and making a mess on the plate, the Prophet ﷺ took an opportunity to teach him at that point and said, Ya ghulam, sammillah, wa kul bi yaminik, wa kul mimma yalik. Oh boy, say bismillah before you eat, and eat with your right hand, and eat that which is close to you. And the Sahabi, Amr ibn Abi Salama, I believe it was, he says that from that point on, after the Prophet ﷺ taught me, he said that was my method of eating. So the children, they pick up these things and they are taught and they learn at these young ages, and we should not think that because they are small, they are too young to be taught things. So if we want to be respected, we have to make sure that we earn that respect from the children. We should also make continuous dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the first and foremost thing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He describes the qualities of the pious believers, and at the end of those qualities, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that they make a dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَالَّذِينَ يَقُولُونَ رَبَّنَا هَبْ لَنَا مِنْ أَزْوَاجِنَا وَذُرِّيَّاتِنَا قُرَّةَ أَعْيُنٍ وَجَعَلْنَا لِلْمُتَّقِينَ إِمَامًا. They make a dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Oh Allah, give us from our progeny قُرَّةَ أَعْيُنٍ, a coolness of the eyes. Coolness of the eyes means that when you look at them, you become happy. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the pious slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that, Oh Allah, give us from our progeny and our wives and our spouses this coolness of the eyes. And the very famous dua of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, Rabbi ja'alni muqima salati wa min dhurriyati. Oh Allah, make me one who establishes the salat, and also my progeny, make those from the ones that establish the salat. So those people that recognize the right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and they fulfill His commands, it is most likely that they also recognize the status of their parents and take care of the parents also. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he warned us that the disrespect of the parents is not just a major sin. It is the major of the major sins. In a hadith that which I've just quoted, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he said, أَلَا أُنَبِّئُكُمْ بِأَكْبَرِ الْكَبَائِرِ. Shall I not tell you of the major of the major sins? Not the kaba'ir, but akbarul kaba'ir, biggest of the major sins. Then he went on to say, the first is al-ishraku billah, making partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is of course the unforgivable sin, that if a person dies in the state of committing shirk, then that person can never be forgiven. The second is uququl walidain, which is disrespect and disobedience to the parents, which can come in many shapes and forms. And the third, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he said, shahadatu zur, which is false testimony, which can destroy many lives. And the Prophet emphasized the importance of shahadatu zur by getting up from his seat and saying, ala wa shahadatu zur, ala wa shahadatu zur, beware of this false testimony. But our focus is on the second one, which is uququl walidain, which is the disrespect to the parents. So the fact that the Prophet ﷺ did not just make it a major sin, but the biggest of the major sins, should tell us the gravity of the sin that is being committed when a person is disrespectful to the parents. Something that we should keep in mind. And a verse which we hear all the time, وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّاهُ وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. Whenever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has talked about the respect of the parents, He has coupled it, He has joined it with His worship. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is the original creator, He is our creator. But the secondary means of our creation were our parents. And because of that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them such a status that when He talks about His own worship, the next thing that He mentions right next to that is the respect of the parents. وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّاهُ وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. Your Lord has ordained that you should not worship anybody except Him, and make ihsan towards parents, especially as they get older. They get more feeble. Sometimes they lose their mind. They become victims of dementia. They reach what is known in Arabic as ardalul umur. They become childlike again. They become childlike. They will become incontinent in terms of not being able to control their natural bodily functions. They will not be able to control themselves. So they become like children once more. So at that point, to respect the parents and to take care of them, it's a huge challenge. I recently got an email from a sister who was very disturbed about her husband, who was beating up her physically disabled father, who was beating up his own physically disabled father for something that, the fact that he was becoming impatient with the fact that he is physically disabled and he has to look after him. So these things do occur. But to be patient at that time is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us. إِمَّا يَبْلُغَنَّ عِنْدَكَ الْكِبَرَ أَحَدُهُمَا أَوْ كِلَاهُمَا فَلَا تَقُلْ لَهُمَا أُفْ. If they reach this old age, that time you have to show patience. And at that time, do not say uff to them. Generally speaking, we say that we should not say uff to our parents at any time. But the biggest challenge is to show disrespect and displeasure at the time when you have to clean them up, when you have to take them to the bathroom, when your whole schedule is disturbed by looking after your own parents, your whole life is turned upside down because you have to look after your parents. You cannot go out to eat. You cannot take your immediate family outside. Why? Because the elderly person is there and he needs to be taken care of. So, no vacation, no me time, no free time. At that time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَلَا تَقُلْ لَهُمَا أُفْ. Do not say uff to them. That's the biggest challenge. وَلَا تَنْهَرْهُمَا وَقُلْ لَهُمَا قَوْلًا كَرِيمًا. Do not scold them and say gentle, noble, nice things to them at that very difficult time. وَخْفِضْ لَهُمَا جَنَاحَ الظُّلِّ مِنَ الرَّحْمَةِ. And lower your shoulder to them out of humbleness and humility, and make dua for them Don't curse them. Make dua for them. And say, and the dua is actually a reminder to oneself. رَبِّرْحَمْهُمَا كَمَا رَبَّيَانِ صَغِيرًا. Oh Allah, have mercy on them. As they raised me, they changed me, they cleaned me, and they fed me, and they looked after me while I was a baby. Now I have the chance to do the same thing for them. Oh Allah, have mercy upon them as they took care of me and they raised me when I was small. So this is very important to understand the status of the parents in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the respect of the parents. I'd like to just turn to a story of one of the tabi'een who is known as Uwais al-Qarni. A tabi'i, he is the one that comes after the sahaba. And the fact was that Uwais al-Qarni was around at the time of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. And he could have visited the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam. The only thing that prevented Uwais from coming to visit the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam was the fact that he had an elderly mother. And that elderly mother had to be looked after, and because of her, he could not travel. And he longed to come to see the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam, he mentioned in a hadith that he, Uwais al-Qarni, was the best of the tabi'een. And there's a difference of opinion about who the best of the tabi'een was. The tabi'een was the status of the generation that came after the sahaba. So some people say that it was Sa'id ibn al-Musayyib who was the best of the tabi'een. And some say that it was Uwais al-Qarni, and some say that it was Al-Hasan al-Basri. And the scholars have actually tried to corroborate the opinions, and they say that the most knowledgeable of the tabi'een was Ibn al-Musayyib, and the most closest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in terms of his wara, in terms of his taqwa, in terms of his devotion to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was Uwais al-Qarni. So this is how you corroborate between the opinions. In any case, Uwais al-Qarni was prevented from coming to visit the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. So because of that, he lost the status of being a sahabi and a companion of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. That definition of a sahabi is the one who saw the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam in the state of iman in his life. So that makes you a sahabi and a companion. But the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he told the sahaba that when this Uwais comes to you, ask him to pray for your forgiveness. The status of Uwais al-Qarni was such that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam instructed not just regular sahaba, but the biggest of the sahaba from the Ashar al-Mubashara, the 10 prominent sahaba that had been promised Jannah by the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam in one sitting. He told them that when this Uwais comes to visit you, make sure you ask him to pray for your forgiveness. So this shows the status of Uwais, that he did not reach the status of being a sahabi, but because of the fact that he was prevented from coming and he looked after his mother at the same time, the Prophet ﷺ told the biggest of the sahaba to ask him to make dua for them. So it's mentioned in a riwayat of Muslim that Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he used to make it a point whenever groups from Yemen used to come, he used to make it a point to look for Uwais al-Qarni and to try to find this person that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam had informed them that he's going to come to you one day, and when he comes, ask for dua. One day he ran into him. He was looking for him for so many years, and then finally, according to the riwayat, he started looking and looking and looking, and people used to say that no, nobody by that name is here. And then one day, finally, when the groups came for Hajj, he asked the same thing and they said the same thing. And then finally one of them said, you know what, there's one person that he's not with us, he kind of stays aloof, he tends to sheep and so on, you might find him under that tree far away from here. So Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu set off to try to find him, and finally he found him and said, Anta Uwais ibn Amir, are you Uwais ibn Amir? He said, yes. قال من مراد ثم من قرن. Are you from Murad and originally from a place called Qarn? He said, نعم. He said, yes. فكان بك برص فبرقت منه إلا موضع درهم. The Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام had said that he will have had a skin illness, an illness of the skin, a discoloration of the pigment of the skin, which will have disfigured his face, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will cure him of that sickness, except for a small part on his back, which is equivalent in size to a dirham. That will still remain discolored, but the rest of his face, it will be normal, and he would have been cured. So Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu asked him, فَكَانَ بِكَ بَرَسْ فَبَرَقْتَ مِنْهُ إِلَّا مَوْضِيَ دِرْهَمْ. So you had this skin illness, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he cured you from it, except for this place, which is equivalent to a dirham. قَالَ نَعَمْ. He said, yes. لَكَ وَالِدَ. He said, you have a mother. He said, yes. He said, so then Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, سَمِعْتُ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ يَقُولُ يَأْتِي عَلَيْكُمْ وَيْسُ بْنُ عَامِرْ مَعَ أَمْدَادِ أَهْلِ الْيَمَنِ مِنْ مُرَادْ ثُمَّ مِنْ قَرْنْ كَانَ بِهِ بَرَسْ فَبَرَأَ مِنْهُ إِلَّا مَوْضِعَ دِرْهَمْ لَهُ وَالِدَةٌ هُوَ بِهَا بَرٌ لَوْ أَقْسَمَ عَلَى اللَّهِ لَا أَبَرَّهُ. Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he said, the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام, he told us everything about you. The Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام had told us that this person called Uwais ibn Amir, he will come with the groups from the people of Yemen. And he will be from a place called Murad, and originally from a place called Qarn. And he will have this skin illness, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will cure him from it, except for one place, which was equivalent to a dirham. And he will have a mother, and he will be good and pious and obedient to his mother. If this person takes an oath by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will fulfill that oath. لَوْ أَقْسَمَ عَلَى اللَّهِ لَأَبَرَّ. And then Umar radiallahu ta'ala who goes on to quote what the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam had told them. فَإِنِ اسْتَطَعْتَ أَنْ يَسْتَغْفِرَ لَكَ فَافْعَلْ. If you have the ability to ask him to pray for your forgiveness, then do so. فَاسْتَغْفِرْ لِي. So please pray for my forgiveness. Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the second Khalifa and one of the biggest of the Sahaba, he is asking forgiveness from Uwais al-Qarni, and Uwais al-Qarni, he made dua for him, he made istighfar for him. So Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu then said to him, Aynu turid, where do you want to go? Where do you intend to go? He said, I want to go to Kufa. And this is actually where he ended up. And Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, Ala aktubu laka ila amiriha? Shall I give you some kind of recommendation letter so that you can take it to the governor over there and he can take care of you? And he said, Akunu fi wubara'i nas ahabbu ilay. He said, I prefer to stay with the humble and lowly of the people. I don't want any of this protocol and any of this going to the governor and so on. I prefer to stay with the lowest of the people. So it's mentioned that Uwais al-Qarni, actually he participated with Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu later on in the Ghazwa of Siffin, and at that point he was martyred in that particular battle. But the point of this story is that what made Uwais al-Qarni special, the thing that made him special, was the fact that he took care of his mother. And taking care of his mother made him into that person whom the Sahaba, the companions of the Prophet ﷺ, came and asked for dua of maghfirah from him. So who knows where the dua of our parents can take us. It's mentioned in a hadith that there are duas which are accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, guaranteed. And there is no curtain between that dua and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is no barrier between the dua and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And one of them is dua al-walid li-waladi. The dua of a parent for the child. The word walid is used. Walid can mean father or mother. There's a concept of taghlib in Arabic. Either of the parents make dua for you, for me, or against us, for us or against us, the dua will be accepted. There is no barrier between that dua and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It goes directly to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if we want our du'as to be accepted, if we want to have a fortunate life, if we want to be at ease, we need to make sure that we earn the du'a of our parents. Many of us are away from the parents. They are away, maybe living in a different country. It's incumbent upon us to call them, to talk to them, see how they're doing. If possible, we should try to visit them as much as we can. Whenever we have any free time, vacation time, take the opportunity to go and spend time with them. They will cherish those moments, and you will cherish those moments. Just in case Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has written to take them at any given time, you will not regret the fact that you spent some time with them. You spend money to be with them. So we need to make sure that we keep these points in mind and look after our parents, respect our parents as much as possible. I'd like to finish the khutbah by talking about something that is very important, and that is the issue of the Friday collections. And the last few collections have been very, very weak, with a congregation which is mashallah about 2,000 or 3,000 people, we are getting an average of about 70 cents per person. Okay, so we mentioned many times before that the Friday collections, they go towards the operational expenses of the masjid. So that means the bills, water bill, electricity bill, the salaries, and the upkeep of the building, everything comes or is supposed to come from this collection. If we are only getting 2,000 a week, you can imagine how difficult it will be for the management to try to take care of the expenses of the masjid. So we request everybody to try to make sure that they put something into the donation box as they leave. 20 is what the request is. If you don't have 20, if you cannot afford that, put 10. If you cannot put 10, put 5. If you cannot put 5, put 1. Put something in there. So this will be, inshallah, a form of sadaqah for you. So do not be stingy when it comes to the upkeep of the masjid. This will be a form of protection for you, inshallah. It will be a form of sadaqah for you. I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us tawfiq to understand and practice what has been said and heard. أَقُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَاسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ وَلِسَائِرِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ فَاسْتَغْفِرُوا إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد قال الله تبارك وتعالى إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد بعدد من صلى وصام اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد بعدد من قعد وقام وصل على جميع الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى الملائكة المقربين وعلى عباد الله الصالحين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم أذل الشرك والمشركين اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم انصر من نصر دين محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم واجعلنا منهم واخذل من خذل دين محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ولا تجعلنا معهم اللهم انصرنا ولا تنصر علينا اللهم امكر لنا ولا تمكر علينا اللهم زدنا ولا تنقصنا اللهم آتنا ولا تحرمنا اللهم ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار وأدخلنا الجنة مع الأبرار يا عزيز يا غفار آمين يا رب العالمين آمين يا رب العالمين إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله العلي الجليل يذكركم وادعوه يستجب لكم ولذكر الله تعالى أعلى وأولى وأكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون أقيموا الصلاة.
الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح قد قامت الصلاة قد قامت الصلاة الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
لا إله إلا الله استووا اعتدنوا واستقيموا يرحمكم الله straighten the lines, close the gaps, make sure the line's straight, heels on the line, stand shoulders